they had a terrorist attack in Moscow. The officials in Washington, they're talking about ISIS-K. What's your take on this attack?
Well, I don't have really a take per se. I just can repeat what Mr. Patrushev and Mr. Bortnikov, these are very big people. One is obviously the secretary of the Russia Security Council, another, of course, the director of FSB. And I saw your wonderful video with Larry. And Larry is also, you know, just pretty straightforward. It is all to distract public opinion in the West primarily from the, obviously, their, you know, all very own son of a bitch, you know. And the son of a bitch, of course, is Ukraine. And using the expression of FDR, you know, that's how he was talking about Nicaraguan people, you know, they are son of bitches, but they are our son of a bitches. So it's the same here. United States by default is involved in this case in the terrorist act against civilians in Russia, because obviously it's their sons of bitches. And of course, London, even more London, if you will look at what wonderful friend Marat Khairunin, one of the best problem combat reporters in the world right now, wrote about this matter, you know. So this is ISIS-K thing is just pathetic. The guys were doing this for money, has been recruited by the operatives, Ukraine and GUR, which is the main intelligence directorate. And SBO, they have been actually directly involved in the training of this kind of people in the Middle East. So, I mean, it just, even Putin already stated this, but now you have Mr. Bortnikov and Mr. Patrushev saying that Ukraine is directly involved. And by default, yeah, they kind of being very, how to say it, circumspect, you know, about who is the main customer, but we know who the main customer is, and it will be eventually named. And yeah, those people responsible, they will be, well, brought to justice.
Bloomberg wrote an article. It says some people in Putin's own circle see no Ukraine link to Moscow attack. Maria Zakharova reacted to this article in Bloomberg. She said this is simply the mother of all fakes.
You can quote me on that. I will repeat it again. All major Western media, corporate legacy media, they are stuffed with human trash, and their senior editors are either intelligence assets, which doesn't preclude them being human trash people without any morality or integrity. They are there to brainwash public, and they understand what they are doing, which tells you why they are, you know, as I already stated, you know, if you listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene, when she was talking about with Tucker about the situation on there in the Congress, when she said, you know what, if you think so that they will sell their family for the good, you know, expensive dinner, it's much worse than that. So, and this totally projects on the people who run their corporate media in the West. Well, to a certain degree, it could be applied to just about any so-called modern journalism. So, as I already stated, they will fake anything. They will act upon what told them to, what people will tell them to do. And as I already stated, that if you remember the British dramaturgist and journalist Jim Stoppard, he stated that it all went from report the world to the change the world. So those people are ideologues, some of them fanatics, and some of them just stay, you know, sociopath. They are genocidal maniacs, and I can tell you, New York Times, Washington Post are like this. Bloomberg is the tabloid, basically. So there are no normal people with morality, integrity, and professionalism there. They just come up with any kind of garbage and lie and fake for whatever reason. Some of them are obviously probably could be the assets by the intelligence services, which gonna basically keep them by their gonads, because they could have been compromised. Who knows? They, you know, they say that they may be going into the what, swingers parties and what have you. You know, so these are not normal people there. So, and as a result, they will continue to come up with this garbage. Many of them are fanatical Russophobes. They would like nothing more than see more Russian civilians killed. So there you go. Plus, do not forget, obviously, a very serious Ukrainian element in this, as you already saw probably with Alexander Lindman, who basically was in the foundation of the Russia Gate, you know, against Trump. Not that Trump handled himself well, he didn't. But, and then, of course, you remember yourself just recently, the Canadian parliament giving standing ovation to SS. As long as Russian civilians, women, children, men, you know, old people are killed, they will be happy. And that is why I'm saying that many of those people, when the international tribunal will start, they will be named as the war criminals. And, you know, and especially when you look at the 25th anniversary of Yugoslavia and gang rape, essentially, of Yugoslavia by NATO, you have to remember all those people like Wolf Blitzer or Christian Amanpour, who was a main pusher of the genocidal agenda against Serbs. She just hates Serbs, period. And because of that, she was lying. Well, that's what she does primarily for living. So, and there you go. That's Western free press. For you.
Earlier this week, the Kremlin announced the Russian FSB Federal Security Service arrested 11 individuals, including four gunmen suspected to be responsible for the horrific terrorist attack that took place at the Crocus City Hall in Krasnogorsk, Russia, a suburban city approximately 25 kilometers from Moscow. I use today's sponsor Ground News to explore coverage on this developing story. You can use the QR code shown to explore for yourself. If you don't already know Ground News, their app and website gathers related news articles from around the world, adding context so readers can understand what's happening without having to go to multiple sites. They found more than 341 articles reporting on this story from sources both inside and outside of Russia. Up top, I can read a summary of this story, and down below, I can sort through all the articles to compare how the news is reporting on it. The Moscow Times highlighted that Kiev has strongly denied any connection and that Putin made no reference to claims of responsibility by the Islamic State in his first public remarks on the attack. Russian government-affiliated agencies TASS and Russia Today highlighted that international leaders condemned the attack, including the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Chinese President Xi Jinping. This important context and the ability to quickly drill down into a story to find out what's really going on is why I follow World News on Ground News and support their goal of presenting all sides of every story. I highly encourage you to give their website and app a try. You'll become a smarter news reader and feel more engaged and in control of what you read. Go to grand.news/dialogueworks to try it out. Plans start at under $1 per month, and my link gets you 40% off their unlimited access management. That we know that Victor Nuland was talking about a nasty surprise for Russians. Is this terrorist attack related to what she was talking about in those days?
Very well could be. I obviously cannot say, have a definitive answer to that. But first, we have been through this before. We discussed it, the fact that Victoria Nuland is a genocidal maniac. She's a war criminal, and so considering the fact that the United States is an ungovernable country, it doesn't have real serious government, which can control basically all this serious foreign policy and military activity. We don't even know who fights who, you know, in State Department, for example, or what have you, in the CIA, Pentagon. I don't even know. I don't care, really. But it's the fact that obviously the United States has several, what Russians use the term now, the towers of power. Victoria Nuland being a very influential figure in unleashing the mayhem in Ukraine and responsible for the death of millions of people. Not the first time. You have to remember this late evil Madeleine Albright, who wanted to kill, you know, and she did basically participated in killing 500,000 of the Iraqi children. So, and this is the types who go around. They probably have their own lines of influence, obviously own lines of communications and own lines of pressing. For example, such people as the Mr. Budanov of GUR, and she spoke to him last time she was there. And that's what she meant, probably, because obviously they cannot do anything on the real battlefield. So why not to start, you know, blowing civilians, you know, blowing up civilians, killing them, you know. So yeah, that's modus operandi. And these are the type of people who support, for example, genocide in Gaza. So there you go. You know, for them, it's, you know, 1 million here, 1 million there, doesn't really matter. So
when we heard that she's gone, we thought that everything is gonna get away with her. It seems that she's not gone. She's there. She's still there. She was working on this project for more than a decade. How we can expect that she's gone? All the policies are there. All the people that she was working with.
Yes, already have been stated actually openly by Mr. Medvedev, for example. And this is not a small guy. He is the deputy chair of the Russia Security Council. He is the guy second after only Vladimir Putin. So he says that, yeah, doesn't matter now. You know, Zelensky, once already stated by Lavrov and others, his tenure is up on the 21st of May. Once this up, and there will be no, obviously, elections, he is at legitimate target, although he is already a legitimate target right now, once the Ukrainians so to speak connection has been established. So in this particular case, the living Victoria Nuland living State Department changes absolutely nothing. And as I already stated, there is a serious strata of the people in Biden administration and, you know, in State Department, CIA, who have all kinds of the grievances because of Russia, because their careers are, you know, well, actually, in modern Washington, it doesn't matter if you're correct or you're effective. It's just as long as you follow this ideological, you know, fanatical narrative. But many people are, you know, just to give you an example, Mark Milley, or Miley as he is sometimes called, former Joint Chief of Staff. Remember what he was talking about. He was talking constantly trash, you know, well, because he is not a good general. He understood that his legacy will be being a loser. Well, pretty much most of American generals are losers. And so he was, in 2016, he was promising Russia to be beaten like Russia never experienced before. The boy should have been studying the history of the World War II, especially the first phase of the a great patriotic war when Red Army sustained colossal losses. So the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And then suddenly, last year, before he leaves, he was talking about what? That no Russian should go to sleep without the fear of having their throats slit. My gosh, this is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He talks like a freaking terrorist. Guess what? He probably knows his legacy will be the destroyed U.S. Army. Not that it was good, very good to start with, but he completely made it woke. And of course, the guy lost whatever he was presiding over. That's his legacy. This is the legacy of pretty much any top position bureaucrat in Washington. They are losers all around. They drove the country into the precipice, essentially, of the economic collapse. Militarily, they are not even in the same league, for example, the Russian armed forces. It has been exposed. And when you look at this, yeah, we have the people who being very incompetent and illiterate, and who obviously are basically driven by this, speaking in the street jargon, they are driven by the incredible butt hurt and with a significant share of the strata of the political class in Washington, D.C. by pure hatred for Russians. Now Russians gave them even more reasons to hate because they understand, if they don't, they should actually feel that sense that they are losers. Their careers, their plans, their all those, you know, things they dreamt about, wet dreams about triumph, are gone now. It's all wrecked. So they hate Russians on the racial, cultural, social, whatever, level. If not for, you know, probably many of them wouldn't mind, you know, taking us Russians living in the United States and putting us somewhere in the concentration camp as they did with the Japanese. So, yeah, that's the type of people who sit in Washington.
The other thing that was so interesting, two of these terrorists were escaping toward the Ukrainian border. It seems that they had some sort of hope or somebody was waiting for them at that border. Why they have to escape toward the Ukrainian border? If they were ISIS, why they didn't kill themselves? These are big questions when it comes to the ISIS and these type of activities that these Islamists really do when they're doing such a thing.
Well, first, it was already established almost instantly after the whole tragedy unfolded that they did have contacts in Ukraine. And today, as I already stated, it's essentially had been confirmed by Mr. Bortnikov and Mr. Patrushev. And that's what they are referred to, the latest in interrogation of those people. And the new arrests followed. So yeah, they already say, yeah, openly, it's Ukraine, okay? So, and that's why they were running there, because they obviously had some contact there. So it's now up to FSB and anti-terrorist committee and investigative committee to really unearth the whole thing there and see who, how, when. And of course, yeah, those guys were not ISIS. They were doing this for money. Another matter, they're stupid, apart from being genocidal maniacs, and their Islam there played a really marginal role. Of course, there was some kind of preacher, which probably was the Ukrainian contact posing as the Islamic preacher and trying to recruit them, which successfully they did. So, but other than that, it's just, yeah, it's all malarkey, honestly. It is clear. And again, listen, Russia already reacted with sending Mr. Kinzhal and Mr. Zircon to those places. Rumor has it now that actually Budanov has been killed. But if I would have been him, I would be immediately running and trying to do the plastic surgery, not that it will help, because obviously modern face recognition systems, they allow even immediately to see if you did the face surgery, plastic surgery. So it wouldn't matter. He will be killed, probably together with his family. So because, I mean, he is a dog, okay? And so probably will be most of the what is called the security council type people around Zelensky. They pretty much have the now the bounty they had. And there are always, you know, those personal caliber and Zircon or Kinzhal missiles with their names on that. And apart from the fact that, who knows, the Russians may do some very interesting, you know, the ground operation, including using special forces. So there's a lot of things which are going on there.
These people were Tajiks. And we know that the Ukrainian embassy in Tajikistan was recruiting people for this conflict in Ukraine. There are some rumors out there that these people were trained outside Ukraine.
Absolutely. And again, first, it is already well known and established fact, again, through Mr. Patrushev, then Mr. Bortnikov, and I believe I didn't listen yet to Zakharova, but the point is, yeah, they have been trained. Some of them have been trained in Turkey, you know. So, and yeah, Turkey is a hotbed for the MI6 and CIA. Others were trained in Turkey by Ukrainians. That's the established fact. So, yeah, it's modus operandi of, and especially, you know, as I already referred to Marat Khairulin's excellent write-up with the in-depth study of this whole issue, especially with this malarkey about ISIS-K, whatever, Khorasan, which is really basically nothing, non-existent organization. So, yeah, you can totally see London is very keen on doing things like that. They love to kill civilians, you know, so that's pretty much the only competences they have. You know, they kill Skripal's cat. We don't know where Skripal's are, probably killed too. That's what they do well. They kill civilians, you know. So in terms of real fight, I don't think so. Well, in terms of British, there is another factor of them being, as I already stated many times, sore losers. I mean, chihuahuas, really, you know, economically, militarily, technologically, what have you. But they still pretend that they matter. They still think that they are MI6 or, you know, all those intelligence, so to speak, organizations matter. They don't. They're genocidal maniacs, you know, who try to, you know, how to put it, further their so-called British interests, which are totally out of proportion with their real size economically, you know, militarily. And they are, as I already stated, they are second-rate power, if not the third. They are approaching the third world type of the situation in their country. So there you go. And those people just try to, you know, some of them never underestimate the power of the emotional involvement, the hatred of the particular group. So, you know, even today, as much as I don't like Margarita Simonyan, and I don't like her, she is definitely not in her place. But today's her answer to the BBC reporter was excellent. You know, suddenly she did what she's supposed to do when she told them that, you know what, why do you ask why we're supposed to do everything what you do, the way you do in your, you know, elections, you know, which is pretty much the political theater and circus. And she said, the fact is, we don't want to follow you, we are not you, and we don't like you very much, you know, and that's okay. Finally, Margarita Simonyan starts to talk how she's supposed to talk, you know, but that's the situation, and do not underestimate the power of hatred of those power circles in Washington and London. Well, Germans are the whole other story altogether. You know, they cannot forgive Russians for, you know, just destroying Nazi Germany and beating them, you know, into the bloody pulp. So
the other thing that I think is so important, the timing of this attack. Do you think that they were planning to do this even before the presidential election in Russia?
Well, it's not so much about the timing. I'm pretty sure they were planning something prior to their presidential elections. But the point is that they are, as I finished the fourth book right now, pretty much about it. They have no idea about Russia. They have caricature understanding of Russia. They do not understand Russian culture. They do not understand Russian idiosyncrasies. They do not understand Russian militarism, not the way they portrayed it. Actually, Russians do have militarism, but it's a very different kind from... So just basically speaking, when you look at people like Michael McFaul, the guy has no clue. He was an ambassador. All of them have no clue. Some of them speak Russian. They are like expats like Max Boot. But Max Boot is not selling their knowledge. He's selling BS and his personal insecurities. So, and how to put it politely, so that's what they get. They don't have, you can quote me. I am on record. I repeat it for many years now. The Russian study field in the United States is complete wasteland. It's the wasteland populated by the basically shysters who sell all kinds of crap to people in Washington who want to hear what they want to hear. They need self, they are always in, for the last, I don't know, many years, decades actually, in self-aggrandizing mode. And for them to maintain this drug flowing in this self-aggrandizing moment and, you know, the mode, they need to listen and hear things about the outside world, and especially Russia, the only country which can wipe out United States off the face of the earth in 20 minutes. They need to constantly hear that it's bad, you know, it's Mordor, it's Gulag, you know. So that's why they love Solzhenitsyn, who lied all his life about Soviet Union. So, and when you look at this, yeah, that's a drug. It's addiction, you know, and as the result, as with any addiction, it perverts the view to such a degree. They do not understand what is going on. And as the result, acting upon delusions and emotional knee-jerk, you know, impulses, they cannot come up with any solution to anything. That is why these people, they're stupid. It's like, can you imagine explaining what real war is to Petraeus or these clowns from the Institute for the Study of War? They have no clue. They applied some kind of, I don't know, whatever the fantasies they have. So, and there you go. as a result, and then they begin to actually feeling that they are being humiliated, and it, you know, it even, you know, inflames them even more. It's addiction. It's addiction because they wanted to hear all the thing they, it has been brilliantly described by Alexis de Tocqueville in 1837 in The Democracy of in America. It's already then he noticed about the garrulous patriotism, you know. And if you read this wonderful, you know, couple of paragraphs he wrote about it, you know, that's what we observe right now. They need to constantly be validated in Washington, but they cannot. And because of that, they getting angry. Now, of course, with the addition of the fanaticism of the neocon ideology and hatred of Russia. So it just adds to the mix.
A BBC filmmaker just wrote an article that he says, I spent weeks on Ukraine's front line. It looks like a dystopian film. Do you see any link on the ground, on the battlefield, that they are so desperate and that's why they need some sort of these type of terrorist activities? Because there is nothing for them on the battlefield to be gained, to win. And that's why they're so desperate. The only thing they can do is some sort of these activities.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a direct link. There is no doubt about it. And it was the case for a while now. And all whole last year, you know, basically everything they get their huge losses somewhere, lose their, you know, number of their towns or villages. And guess what? They shoot at the civilian areas of Russia, especially in Donetsk. That's why Avdiivka was so important to and remove the you know, constant threat of the attacks on the primarily civilians in Donetsk area. So it, that's what they do. Yeah, terrorism is the weapon of the weak. And their party, so to speak, with Ukraine being a major proxy, best proxy West ever had, So for them, seeing this proxy being ultimately destroyed several times over, and now be the combined West being the demilitarized and denazified. So yeah, terrorism is that thing. They cannot fight the real war on the ground. Now this clown Macron wants to send, as Mr. Medvedev stated, hey, send us a couple of regiments of French. This is what Mr. Medvedev stated today. I think so. That will be good, you know, for our troops to train, you know, on just killing their directly NATO personnel. So, yeah, sure. I mean, what are you going to do about it? So, yeah. And they are that desperate. Yeah, desperation drives this terrorist activity.
They try to make some sort of security problems in Russia to make people unhappy with the situation. It seems all the things they plan for are backfiring on them. At the end of the day, it doesn't seem that they get it.
They are that incompetent. They are that unlearned. And again, I don't know what they teach anymore in the West Point or, you know, U.S. Army War College. I read some things there from those publications. It's just mind-boggling. It's like the kindergarten, the kids throwing tantrums and, you know, imbuing from, you know, Ukrainian propaganda. And we're talking about this cadre people, cadre military. In terms of the other parts, I mean, yeah, it's incompetence, sheer incompetence. And again, listen, it's you want to see the incompetence, look no further than 9/11, or look no further than the United States running, you know, pants down from Afghanistan, okay? And how those generals lied for years that they are about to win in Afghanistan, when in fact they have been pinned down and absolutely lost it already, you know, before this pathetic actually escape. So it's like unbelievable, you know, just unbelievable. And that was exposed to the world.
There is an article in Forbes. It says that Ukraine's F-16s must hunt down Russia's Sukhoi glide bombers, even if it's dangerous. Do we have any information if they already received F-16s in Ukraine?
First, Forbes, if you listen, Forbes is the same trash as Bloomberg, and their so-called military analyst, David Eakes, he has their degree in the fiction writing. So he has a degree in literature, and he is a comic artist. No, I mean, he, you know, draws comics or whatever. So anything this guy says is just, you know what, it's cringeworthy because it's laughable. The guy has no clue what he's talking about. F-16s make no difference whatsoever. So again, listen, what those F-16s are for? People have to ask this question. And the answer is very simple. They have to be you know, able to stick 2-3 Storm Shadow Scalp missiles underneath of those things. They will take off, launch, you know, by approaching the line of the launch and try to escape. But of course, you know, with Russian air patrols and R-37 proving its insane capability, it's the range of up to 400 kilometers. So, you know, it's, yeah, good luck. You know, what can I say? You know, and then, of course, they have to return those who will survive. So it makes no difference whatsoever what is in there. F-16s, F-18s, F-15s, F-22s, I mean, makes no difference whatsoever. So, and that's what these people from the American media, which is pathetic, really. They don't have real military specialists, primarily all kinds of shysters, some of them cadre military people who just basically tell, you know, fairy tales. But that's the reality in the air. And sure, if they want to try, let them. They're not going to survive for long.
Jake Sullivan was trying to convince Ukrainians that Russia has already failed. Do you see we're getting to the point that United States says to Ukraine, nothing else we can do for you? Let's put an end to this conflict.
Well, Jake Sullivan, who was one of the major drivers behind this catastrophe, he has a degree in political science, and I won't allow him to mow my lawn in front of my house. And he probably will. So the guy has absolutely, as it is the case now, pretty much with everybody in Washington. I don't know how many professional people who have integrity and, you know, can say and, you know, voice their, you know, objections. But I mean, the Biden administration is a parade of mediocrities and illiterate and ignorant people. That's why they are part of the Biden administration. Some people in the United States still believe that Biden has a perfect bill of health, you know. So, yeah. And Jake Sullivan, being a political scientist, which is, that means he has no education whatsoever in this respect, he can convince and try to convince anybody else. But United States indeed cannot do anything unless it wants to get into directly somehow. There is a huge operational and strategic issue with the war in war with Russia, which they already stated, including by Jake Sullivan, that United States is not going to send any troops to fight in Russia. And as a result, well, they will continue to do what they do best, confabulate. They will confabulate some, you know, thing. And for Jake Sullivan, can you imagine his, you know, their project, you know, which has Victoria Nuland and Jake Sullivan names written all over it, been to such a, you know, basically a catastrophe for the United States and for Ukraine. And in this case, sure, United States already practically stated to Ukraine that nothing we can do. Yeah, I mean, unless they want to send more patriots, they will be annihilated. As you already saw, Russians actually completely removed red lines. It doesn't matter. In fact, is they probably applaud if they get, which is the case. Yesterday, they blew up, you know, patriot another patriot battery. And guess what? They specifically stated there were so-called Western mercenaries or volunteers. We know they were not volunteers. We know they were cadre officers and technicians who were sitting there. They have been killed. And so Russians now openly say, you know, which I've been saying all along, just send whatever you want, we'll kill it. So, you know, and that's simple as that. And for Jake Sullivan, it is his professional catastrophe. The guy was behind that. And when you talk the word strategy, Washington doesn't do strategy anymore. They do not understand what strategy is, how you develop the contingency planning for things, you know, so how you have this, you know, decision trees and things of this nature. They obviously do not know what it is. they run through this degree mill in Georgetown or whatever for programs and government or what have you. They learn absolutely nothing there. So they get into the real life, of which they know very little, because most of them are whiteboard theoreticians who learn from the pretty much fake history as it is taught in the many US or British institutions. And then they end up in this position and they double down because they don't understand how to deal with the issue. They are illiterate. And this is not a figure of speech. They are illiterate. Ask Jake Sullivan or Anthony Blinken, what do they know about modern Russia? They know nothing. They wouldn't even understand serious, mind you, military, technological, and forecast which would be presented, to them. No, people on the Capitol Hill, although what is the Congressional Research Service gives them. And these are written literally for kindergarten level people, and that's what it is. He may have the access to, he does have, for example, access to seriously classified information, very sensitive, but he would know what to do with that, especially in so far as the military strategy, operational art, and how it is all applied goes. And he simply doesn't have background for that. And they don't teach that. I mean, they have those funny strategic studies, courses. It's all garbage. If you don't have serious military engineering background and tactical experience, forget it. It's a waste of time. It's just degree meal, fake. They might as well go and study in the University of Phoenix, which is online degree meal. You may not know, but there are some top-notch military people who actually have degree from University of Phoenix. That's unbelievable. Yeah, it's just absolutely pathetic.
The other thing that the Biden administration is insisting on sending more weapons and aid to Ukraine. Who's going to use these weapons? They're not going to work by themselves. It seems that mobilization in Ukraine is not going the way they want it to be. When it comes to Congress, are they receiving accurate reports on Ukraine?
Oh, they didn't for a while. Now maybe it's beginning to trickle down, even through the mainstream media. But primarily, they were basically using Ukrainian propaganda. That's what my conclusion is, because obviously, as I already stated, of extremely low educational and professional level of the intelligence people in the United States and military people. So, and when you have... some of American generals, they wouldn't be allowed to command a platoon now. I thought regiment, but now some of them wouldn't be allowed to command platoon. They wouldn't know what to do. And yes, they have been living in this echo chamber, a complete delusion about everything what was happening. And yeah, they still believe that you can, some of them, obviously, they cannot comprehend that... the same Patriot Pact 3, whatever the advanced versions of it, or any kind of the American tanks and what have you, they are absolutely useless in the real combat conditions. The American air defense has been always, again, if you read my books from the get-go, there is primarily built on PR and advertisement and marketing. Reality is American air defense systems, they suck. Frankly, speaking politely, they will not stop nothing. They will not stop any salvo of the P-800 Onyx or 3M14 caliber. Forget about hypersonic weapons. They will not even see them. So, yeah. And what are they going to send? Are they going to send the latest versions of the Abrams tanks? Doesn't matter. They can use the whatever the freaking, modern, as they say, incredible armor. But the problem is there's nothing which can, prevent you from latest versions of Cornet. it's just like, send them in. They now are afraid to send them in because their whole mythology of, forget about NATO in general, but American military hardware have been completely blown up to smithereens. They just have humongous reputational damage to what I've been warning for years, many years now. They better not get into real fight. They did. The result, we all can see the result. And now, yeah, you have an extremely low level of the troops of the whatever, fifth iteration, I believe, of the armed forces of Ukraine. I believe it's fifth. So, but yeah, they have the whole generation wiped out pretty much of young people in Ukraine.
These people simply cannot do anything, just go and kill themselves.
Yeah, that's what it is. So United States military is primarily designed to fight some third world, it's expeditionary force with very mediocre capabilities in for their real war. And they won't even be able to sustain their losses. Imagine what was the result of the moral, emotional scar and trauma of the United States from the war in Vietnam, where the United States lost for 10 years, 56,000 KIAs killed in action. Now imagine if you will experience same losses within the 5 to 6 weeks, just in KIAs alone. So can the United States sustain this? No, it cannot do this on any kind of level. And the United States never liked to die in the real war. That is why there's so many proxies. There are all those, indirect strategies, so-called operations, which are not really operations, pretty much sabotage. That's all they can do. Yeah, to beat the Iraqi, the army, yeah, that's about it. So other than that, forget it.